Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ing. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hey, this is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Make the choice today to rejoice no matter what's going on in life. Hey, Genesis chapter 12 is an important chapter. It's the call of Abram, whose name was later changed by God to Abraham. And the Lord called Abraham when he lived in Ur of the Chaldees, and he said, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And Abraham left Ur, and he made it to the promised land, the land of Israel. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Make no mistake, Israel is the land God gave to his people, the Jews, and they live there to this day, and they are the rightful heirs of that land because God gave them that land. And there's much consternation in our world today over Israel. All eyes on Israel because the devil hates Israel. Well, Benjamin Netanyahu just came to the United States, spoke to Congress on Wednesday, and Kamala Harris was not there, although she presides over the Senate. Joe Biden was not there, supposedly recovering from COVID. And it's just protesters everywhere, graffiti everywhere, burning the flag. It was a horrible day for a democracy. We want to save democracy. Rashida Tlaib, the Democratic congresswoman from Minnesota, held up a sign that said "war criminal" while Benjamin Netanyahu spoke. And so to give us perspective on this, I've asked my good friend, Dr. Gary Frazier, author, speaker, pastor, Bible prophecy expert, and founder and president of Discovery Missions International. Gary loves the Lord and he loves Israel, and so he keeps up with everything going on in Israel. So, Gary, welcome to the program this morning.
Hey, Jeff, it's always a joy to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on, my friend. So, okay, it's a big deal when Netanyahu comes and speaks to Congress, but for some, they hate to see him, they hate to hear him. Why is that?
Well, I think one of the things that all of us who pay any attention to what's going on in our culture today, we have watched as the whole world has turned against Israel. You know, we've talked about this before, Jeff, but on October the 7th, everyone stood up and said, "We support Israel's right to defend themselves against the terrorist organization Hamas," and so forth. And we watched as the news reports came out about the incredible demonic slaughtering of over 1,200 Jewish people, even babies beheaded and stuck in the ovens, and the ovens turned on. I mean, these people are demonic, drug-controlled terrorists, and the whole world stood up and said, you know, Israel has a right. Then they turned slowly, slowly, slowly. It began to turn, and today now we see the whole world sees Israel as the problem. Mm-hmm. But you know what's interesting about this, and you know this is a fact: history tends to repeat itself. We saw this same type of thing happen under Hitler and the Nazis in Germany beginning in 1936 and, of course, ending with the end of World War II with the death of 6 million Jews in the ovens of Nazi Germany. And, you know, the Jewish people have repeatedly said never again, never again, never again. But, you know, the world does not agree with that. Mm-hmm. The world has a hatred for the Jewish people, and they don't really understand why. But we in the body of Christ realize that this has been going on almost since the birth of Isaac, the very first Jew, because the devil hates the Jewish people. First and foremost, is because Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, comes through the Jewish line, the miraculous birth of Christ. And so we've seen this over and over and over again. And the people don't even realize that it's a spiritual conflict. And it reveals so much about their, it reveals so much about their own personal spiritual lives to have this kind of hatred. And to see Rashid Tlaib, whatever you want to call her name is, in Congress, in his speech doing that, you know, that just reflects the depth of demonic activity in our culture today that is still mostly ignored by most people. We refuse to accept the fact that there is a hell, that there is a devil, that there are demons, and that they're active in our culture and our world, and that the only victory over them is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, I'm assuming that you listened to most of his speech, and I thought Netanyahu did a great job. He had some great lines in there. You know, gays for Gaza is like saying chickens right. for KFC. But he talked about from the river to the sea, yeah. and he said, yeah. people that chant that, they don't know what river, they don't know what sea, they don't know history, and they don't know what the Bible yeah. says.
Well, they don't. And here's what's interesting about this. As you know, and as you stated in your opening, Biden, of course, was still hiding out in his basement claiming to have COVID. I'm not sure I agree with that at all, just a way of getting him out of the way. But the second part of that was she's out doing her thing on the campaign trail and so forth. But she did meet, as you know, with Netanyahu later. But mm-hmm. you know what's interesting about this? When they came out of the meeting, Netanyahu said, you know, it was just an okay type. I mean, he was, but then Kamala made some statements. And the statements that she made were much more critical than what she had said to Netanyahu in that meeting revealed by Axios. And so, because she went on to say, Jeff, that after she reiterated Israel's right to defend itself and condemned Hamas, she goes on to express her serious concern, and I'm reading from this article, about the scale of human suffering in Gaza, including the death of far too many innocent civilians. And she says, I made clear my serious concern about the dire humanitarian situation where there are over 2 million people facing high levels of food insecurity and 500,000 people facing catastrophic levels of acute food insecurity. She is taking the posture that there are so many people that are innocent in this. And I'm going to make a statement that's going to probably enrage some people. But the vast majority of the people in the Gaza Strip, you've got to remember, they elected Hamas into a position of power, number one. And I find very few people that I would say that are innocent of supporting this terrorist organization.
Right.
And here's the situation. She told Netanyahu, and this is what really inflames me, it's time to get this deal done. You know, right now they're very close to an agreement on the release of the remaining hostages, which we yet do not know how many are still alive. But she goes on to tell him that the Palestinian state, the Palestinian people, need to have their own state. Now, here's what she doesn't understand. Just last week, you know, the Knesset voted and showed once again their opposition to a Palestinian state west of the Jordan River by a majority vote. But here's what Harris doesn't understand, and neither does Biden, and neither does most of the left, and that is this. As you said a moment ago, the chant, the river to the sea. While Americans may not, most of them who don't know history and geography, would not understand, we're talking about the river being the Jordan River, the sea being the Mediterranean Sea. They're talking about the entire land that we know today as Israel. And by the way, this was the land that was Israel in the time of Jesus, because it wasn't changed. The name wasn't changed until Palestine in 135 AD by Hadrian the Roman Emperor. And so it was Israel in Jesus' time. It was Israel up until the time the Jews were kicked out of the land in 70 AD and later in 135, name changed. And it became Israel again in 1948. But there's never been a Palestinian state. that land was either controlled, A, by the Jews, or B, by invading armies. So there was never a place or time when there was a quote-unquote Palestinian state. So they don't get this, though. The Palestinians do not want a state. It was has been offered to them previously under the Clinton administration, et cetera. They don't want a state. They want all or nothing. For right. them, it's an all or nothing deal. And I'm going to tell you, the Jewish people are not giving up that land. God is not going to permit that to happen. Mm-hmm. Although we do know, prophetically speaking, there are some dark days ahead for the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. You know, as you know, Ezekiel 13 tells us that two-thirds of tells us that two-thirds of all the Jews living in the land are going to perish during the terrible time of the trial and tribulation period. But we are living in a very, very perilous time. But you know what? It's not just about what's going on in Israel right now, Jeff, as you and I have talked about on numerous occasions. And I know that sometimes people think, well, he just keeps harping about the same thing. But the reason that I keep harping about this one issue is because it is looming larger with every passing day. And mm-hmm. that is the war that God tells us is going to happen, as recorded in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. Mm-hmm. A Russian-led Islamic invasion is going to take place. People don't realize that all the pieces of this puzzle are in place for the first time in 2,500 years. Secondly, they do not realize that even China is now encircling the United States with Africa and South and Central America and so forth and so on. All of these pieces of this puzzle are coming, and they're all coming for one purpose, and that is the total destruction of the nation of Israel and the annihilation of the ethnicity of the Jewish people. Mm. But all of that screams to us that, number one, Jesus is coming soon. Number two, the Word of God is the only reliable source for what the future holds.
Amen. And now, Gary, I know that you and I share the opinion that the Bible teaches a pre-tribulation rapture that has seemingly fallen out of favor as Reformed theology has kind of taken over, especially in the Southern Baptist Convention. If you didn't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I think what the people are, first of all, it's interesting to me that people that don't believe in a pre-trib rapture, you know, they never have prophecy conferences because all they can say is, listen, you need to buy food and water and more ammunition and arms to try to manage to get through a portion or all of the tribulation period when the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapters 6 through 19 that 50% of the world's population are going to perish during that horrible time, unlike anything Jesus said the world has ever seen. Having said that, they don't understand it, and so they simply write it off to this and use the statement all the time that, well, nobody really knows what's going to happen, so we're just going to ignore it for the most part. Well, here's the problem. The Bible itself tells us in John chapter 14 that Jesus made a promise to his followers, and that comes all the way down the line, not just to those standing in his presence at that particular time, but throughout the ages of history, all those who had come into the body of Christ. And the promise was that do not let your hearts be troubled. And he goes on to say, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to the Father's house. And so here's the issue. The promise of Jesus is that his body, his bride, the believers, who have died in Christ, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, that they're going to be raised first. We who are alive and remain are going to be called up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now listen, if our listeners are paying attention and you don't have a preset, if you've not already made up your mind and you could just listen to what I'm trying to say, is that first of all, we're not escapists. We're not running around saying, you know, that we believe in this because that means we don't have to go through the tribulation. We believe in it because the Bible is singular on every point of doctrine, every point of scripture. There is not a buffet. There's not a multiple choice option here. It's one thing. God makes it clear that the bride is not going to be here. Now, here's the thing. If you understand that, then you realize that coming of Jesus for the bride precedes this conflict in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. Yeah. Now, there are a lot of evidence for that, and I write about this extensively in my book, It Could Happen Tomorrow, Future Events Will Shake the World, and also in my latest book called The Event. Because I want people to understand, because here's what happened.
Gary, I'm sorry, we are out of time. We're up against it. But tell us real quick where we can go online to connect with you.
Just go to discoverymissions.com or to GaryFraser.com, either one.
All right. Thanks, Gary, so much for being with us. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We were talking to Gary Fraser, Dr. Gary Fraser, author, speaker, pastor, Bible prophecy expert, and the founder and president of Discovery Missions International. Gary has led trips to Israel. I think he's been over there 130 times or something like that. He loves to bring pastors over to Israel. He has a special deal for first-time pastors to help them to see the land and walk the land and get excited about bringing their church members there at a future date. And now all that, we had a trip with First Baptist Texarkana and From His Heart Ministries. We had about almost 100 people set to go, and that was right in October. And we know what happened October 7th, 2023, as Hamas brutally, savagely, demonically attacked Israel and killed men and women and boys and girls and even babies. That's just beyond comprehension. And Israel, ever since, has been defending itself. And as Gary said, you know, the world has turned against Israel. No, not a big shock there. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so the Lord allows the devil, gives him rope, to do different things, and he is pushing the world against Israel. The devil hates Israel because Israel represents the promises of God. As Gary said, the Messiah comes from Israel. Jesus is going to one day rule and reign from Jerusalem. And so Israel is not going anywhere. The Lord will defend his people because he has his promise tied up in his people. And if the devil could get the world to wipe out Israel from the river to the sea and wipe them out, then God's promises would fail, and God would not be a faithful God, and the whole thing would collapse. Well, when the Lord comes back, it says of Jesus, he is called faithful and true. It is impossible for God to lie. And when the Lord makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. That promise is going to be fulfilled. Now, in his time, not in our time. So we think the whole argument of 2 Peter chapter 3, in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. And what are they saying? They say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Hey, there's never been some cataclysmic event that you Christians are talking about, when we talk about the return of the Lord. And Peter says, well, when the critics and scoffers maintain this, it escapes their notice that there was a cataclysmic event. The heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. They forget the flood. They forget how God brought wrath on an evil world. But the present heavens, he says, and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, he doesn't mark time as we do. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now, from our perspective, it seems so long. I mean, we talk about Jesus being crucified. Dr. Harold Honer says he was crucified on April 3rd, 33 AD. He did all the research and the dates and the calendars and things like that. And he says that is the most plausible date for Jesus' crucifixion. Well, that's almost 2,000 years ago. And so it's been 2,000 years, and that's why people say, well, where's the promise of his coming? You've been talking about the coming of Jesus, the coming of Jesus, the coming of Jesus. He's not coming. It's been almost 2,000 years. Well, one day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is outside of time. So it hasn't been very long from God's perspective. It's been a long time from our perspective, but not from God's perspective. And when we say, well, why has it taken so long even from our perspective? It's because the Lord is patient, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. I preached on Wednesday night, doing a burning questions series on Wednesday night, and talked about the burning question, does it really make sense? Is it really worth it to go God's way? Is it really worth it to follow the Lord? And Psalm 73 is a great psalm where the psalmist, Asaph, a Levite who led in worship, he said, well, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, but as for me, I'm having trouble. My feet came close to stumbling. Why? Because I looked at the wicked. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I saw how they were always at ease. And I said, wait a minute, I have struggles. I have troubles. I have problems. Here I am trying to follow the Lord, trying to please the Lord. They don't give a rip about the Lord. I am suffering and they are prospering. And he asked the question, what gives God? Why is God, why, you know, we ask the question, why do the righteous suffer? But why do the wicked prosper? You know, that's kind of the other side of that coin. Why does it seem like the people of God suffer and the people of the enemy and the people of the evil one, the people who tip their hat to the Lord but don't bow the knee, why do they seem to prosper? And one of the reasons I brought forth is because the Lord is kind to sinners. And he causes the rain to fall on the just and unjust. He himself is kind to evil and ungrateful men. And it's the kindness of God that brings men to repentance and leads men to repentance. I'm so glad that God is kind. I'm so glad that God loves sinners, just as it says in the New Testament, the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and wanted eternal life, but he wanted it on his terms, and he wasn't willing to give up the things of this world. He was holding on to the things of this world. And he loved his stuff more than he would love the Lord. And so the Lord said, hey, give all that away. You got to get that out. You can't be clinging on to sin. And it says very clearly in Mark chapter 10, the Lord felt a love for him. The Lord loved that guy, even though he watched that guy walk away. He loved him. And the Lord loves sinners, and he's kind to sinners, and he's patient with sinners. Why has Jesus not returned yet? Because he's patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The day of my salvation was a Monday night in late January of 1980 as a high school senior. And I am so glad that Jesus didn't return in 1979, because I wasn't ready. And he was patient toward me in allowing me to hear the gospel and to be convicted by his Spirit and my eyes open to the truth, so I could cry out and to Jesus, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, will be saved. And I called out and cried out to the Lord to save me, and he did. And so God is patient toward us. But then it goes on to say, 2 Peter 3:10, but the patience doesn't last forever, because the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will melt with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. So since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. We're to be looking for that. The coming of the Lord is our blessed hope, as we were talking about the rapture of the church. That's the blessed hope. Jesus comes back in the clouds for his bride, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Hey, does it pay to serve the Lord? Answer, yes. Yes. Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Romans 9, Romans 10, 1 Peter chapter 2. It's repeated three times. And so you can never go wrong going God's way. And I like the little poem that says, though the pathway to glory may sometimes seem dreary, it pays to serve Jesus, and it pays every single day. 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Apostle Paul, as he closes out this letter to the Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil, your labor, your sweat, your tears, your toil is not in vain in the Lord. He who gives a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, he will surely not lose his reward. Jesus sees all that you're doing in his name. He sees your faithfulness. He sees the pastor that is pastoring a difficult church on the backside of nowhere, seemingly on the backside of nowhere, but the Lord knows where that is, and he knows it's hard. And our job is to be faithful, to faithfully, as a pastor, to faithfully lead the flock and feed the flock and open the book and preach the word. Our job as Christians that are in the workaday world is to be faithful to the Lord, to do a good job, to serve your boss like you were serving Jesus, and to be trustworthy and honest and hardworking and a person of integrity and a person that the company can count on. But now we do know that companies are they are starting to exert pressure to knuckle under this woke agenda, and teachers and workers and salespeople, a friend of mine that's in the financial world was working for a big Fortune 500 company, and he got out. He said, I went to work for a smaller company making less money, but I didn't have all that LGBTQIA plus woke agenda shoved down my throat. I'm not going to put a rainbow flag on my desk during Gay Pride Month. Just not going to do it. And so you have to know where the line is for you. You know, for Daniel chapter 1, Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, those were their Jewish names, they wouldn't eat the king's choice food. They said, we're not going to do that. That's food sacrificed to idols, meat sacrificed to idols. We're not going to do it. Well, they were going to lose their lives for saying no, but they appealed to authority, and they said, listen, give us a test, and we'll just eat vegetables and water and see how we do compared to the other guys in our class. And they were healthy, and they were strong after 10 days. Hey, they gave God an opportunity to work as they stood up for what is right, as they put a line in the sand and said, we can learn the literature and language of the Chaldeans. That's not sinful, but we cannot eat meat sacrificed to idols. We can't be a part of that. And they said no, and God supported them in their decision. When they said no to bowing before Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel chapter 3, well, they got thrown in the fiery furnace for that. But the Lord delivered them in the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar, when he saw them walking around, loosed and walking around, he said, did we not throw three men in the fiery furnace? They said, certainly, O king. He said, but I see four men loosed and walking around, and one is like the Son of God. Jesus was in the fiery furnace with his three faithful servants, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And he'll be with you in your fiery furnace. He'll never leave us, and he'll never forsake us. And so we need to stand firm in the Lord. And we just need to know, hey, as my father-in-law gave me a little lapel pin years and years and years ago, it was a trumpet, and it just had two words underneath that trumpet, perhaps today. perhaps today, you know, because it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That is the blessed hope for the Christian. The Lord is coming soon. We don't know when. We just know it's soon. And Jesus said, you be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, doesn't need to be on topic. It can just be anything that you may want. I may not know the answer, but I can sure give it a try and from the scripture and try and give you an answer to your question. Lots of things going on in our world, lots of things we need to be aware of, but we need to look at everything in the world through the lens of scripture. And Adrian Rogers used to say, don't walk around with headline hysteria, saying, what is the world coming to? Look up, be watchful, keep your eyes on Jesus, and say, praise the Lord, it's getting gloriously dark. And as we see more and more turmoil and upheaval in our world, and people turning away from the truth and turning aside to myths and creating their own reality, we can trust the Lord that he is on his way. You know, one of the funny things that came out just recently, and everybody's now in the Democrat Party has been hailing Kamala Harris. Oh, she's the one. And Barack Obama and Michelle, we're so excited about Kamala Harris. Well, Trump was calling her the border czar. The border's a disaster. And calling her the border czar, and the liberal news pundits like Axios said, well, it's just the Republicans and Trump calling her the border czar. She was never the border czar. And then somebody pointed out that Axios themselves, this news organization, April 14th and March 24th of 2021, they called her the border czar. And so you talk about having egg on your face. They had to quickly retract and say, well, we incorrectly labeled her the border czar in 2021. Well, that's what she was, and the border's a disaster. Well, give me a call and let's talk. Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question, if you have a comment. We're kind of open today, so whatever might be on your mind or on your heart, love to hear from you and hopefully give you a biblical answer to a question or or chime in with some biblical wisdom to your comment. But we have Carol on the line from North Carolina. Carol, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Shreve.
Hi.
Hey, what if a pastor of a church was to tell his congregation, I want you to put 2 minutes a day into furthering the kingdom, and what I want you to do is between the hours of 10 a.m. and 11 a.m., I want you to pray the Lord's Prayer. You only have to do it once, but I want you to do it slowly. I want you to think about each part of it as you say it. And I want you to pray it aloud so that your ears can hear it. It doesn't have to be loud, just loud enough for you to hear it. And it'll be between 10 and 11 o'clock, and it'll be our Lord's Prayer Hour. And then this caught on to other churches, so that they were all these other churches between 10 and 11 were saying the Lord's Prayer. And then it caught on from church to church to church until it went into other time zones. And it would be 10 to 11 o'clock, the Lord's Prayer Hour. And so each hour, it would be a different time zone. It would just move to the next time zone. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Until if it caught on enough, we'd have it around the whole world. And it would be 24 hours a day, the Lord's Prayer was saying, but just in a different time zone. And I just think there's so much power in that prayer, because it is the words of Jesus. It is the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. And maybe that's why he gave it to us, so that we could overpower evil by just uniting and praying it. What do you think about this?
Well, I think that's a neat thought, Carol. I think that what's called the Lord's Prayer is really a model for prayer. It's not so much he was saying pray these words, because the Lord's actual prayer is John 17. That's his great high priestly prayer. That's what Jesus prayed to the Father. He says, pray, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, he said, pray in this way, pray in this manner. And so it's kind of a model. You know, we start off with praise our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, and we take time to recognize that God is in charge and that he's our Father and he loves us. And then we pray about the kingdom, that his kingdom is coming and we want his will to be done. So it's not so much, there's nothing wrong with repeating it, but it's not really given as a prayer to be repeated. It's a model to follow. And so just like he says, give us this day our daily bread, he's talking about daily needs. He's saying, come before the Lord with your daily needs. Tell him what's on your heart. Tell him what you're facing. Tell him what you need emotionally, spiritually, financially, all those things, because he cares about us. And then it ends, not in every version, but Matthew 6:13, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So we're back focused on the kingdom at the end of our prayer. So I think that that's a cool idea that gets everybody to pray. I'm a big believer that, when you start talking about, well, just 2 minutes, between 10 and 11, and some people say, well, that's just almost nothing. But for a lot of people, it's 2 minutes more than what they're doing now. And so you got to start somewhere. I challenged the guys in my Strong Foundations group that meets on Thursday mornings. I said, hey, guys, make a commitment to God to spend at least 5 minutes a day in his word and in prayer. I said, that's not very much, but the reality is it might be 5 minutes more than what you're doing now, because you're not doing anything. And so I think it's a great start. I think it's a great sentiment, and we do need to pray. And as we pray, God answers, and Christians hold the key to what's going on in our country and in our world. And as we get our hearts right, as we start looking to the Lord, as we start petitioning the Lord for his mercy and grace and favor, God will respond to that.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that.
I guess I'm a little disappointed, because I just thought it was a good start to get people praying, and most Christians know that prayer. And I know I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll say to myself, I don't know what to pray, because I'm feeling overwhelmed.
Right.
And I'll start saying the Lord's Prayer, and I'll start yawning, and I feel like I'm, you know, yawning out something bad and breathing in something good while I'm doing it, you know, and it just helps me.
Right. Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but it is that model. So each one of those phrases, it's okay, you know, go deeper in that, because what does that mean that God's name is holy? And we can think through and meditate on that. So not a bad thing. Don't be discouraged. I think it's a good point that you made. But that is a model for prayer, and we need to take that and use that as we pray, but then fill in a lot of the headings, so to speak, with just like give us this day our daily bread. What is your daily bread for today? And it varies from day to day as our needs change. But I appreciate you calling in, Carol. Appreciate you sharing that. That's a good word. We have Daniel on the line from Texas. Daniel, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good afternoon, or good morning, I should say.
Listen, sir.
My wife, you know, she's go to church with me to about 5 years ago. And we've been married about 6 years, okay? Mm-hmm. And we met in church, and you know, in a different Baptist church. And I go to an independent Baptist church, which I was saved in, you know. Mm-hmm. So she quit. I said, "How come you quit going to church?" And she said, "They're not liberal enough for her, because she believes in abortion, and mm-hmm. you know, and she won't go to church." She said, "You won't like church I won't go to." Mm-hmm. So I pray for her every night, you know, and during the day, you know. It's been, mm-hmm. you know, 5 years and nothing.
Yeah. Has that caused a lot of friction in your relationship?
I keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, like I said, she's for abortion and I'm not. And, you know, and she makes jokes about people voting for Trump, you know, because he's done this, done that, you know, and I just keep my mouth shut. Just keep my mouth shut. Mm-hmm. So that's what it is.
Yeah, that's tough, Daniel. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, the biggest, I mean, in that situation, you just pray and you just shine before her. You love her as Christ loved the church. You fulfill 1 Peter 3:7. You husbands likewise live with your wives live with your wives in a understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. I think as you just love her, nourish her, cherish her, shine before her, pray for her, and just ask God to open her eyes and to soften her heart, so that she wouldn't have that kind of bitter side of her that you're seeing. And I wouldn't push her, but I would just love on her and just gently lead her and see how she responds to that. But that's a spiritual issue that's going to take the Lord to open her eyes to truth and to turn her away from that. But I appreciate you calling in, Daniel, and pray that the Lord gives you wisdom there and changes her heart. Well, we have Nick on the line from Delaware. Nick, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Pastor Jeff.
Yes, sir.
My question's on the pre-tribulation rapture versus post-tribulation rapture. Uh-huh. Gary briefly got into it and then ran out of time. I recently listened to a podcast, and the guy was adamant that it would be post-tribulation rapture. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say it was pre-tribulation, you know, that we wouldn't go through it. And I guess I'm not educated enough to say one way or the other. I didn't know if you could shed some light on that.
Yeah. So I'm reading a book now. We're going to have on the program in just a week or so, Jeff Kinley. He's written a book on Matthew 24 and 25, and he talks about, you know, the end times from the lips of Jesus. Jesus didn't talk about the rapture in Matthew 24 and 25. He does first mention the rapture in John 14. But here's the big reason why the rapture can't take place at the end of the tribulation, because Jesus comes back, defeats the Antichrist, and sets up his kingdom. And you have the Matthew 25, the judgment of the sheep and the goats, and the sheep he puts on his right hand, and the goats, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They go to everlasting hell, the hell prepared for the devil and his angels. But you have people that populate the millennial kingdom. And so human beings, mortal people, not glorified saints. So glorified saints, once you are glorified, you're given a glorified body. That happens at the rapture. Philippians chapter 3, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory through the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. And so 1 Corinthians 15 says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye. And the perishable will put on imperishable, and this mortal will put on immortality. So that takes place when the Lord comes back and we go up in the clouds. Now, if we did that at the end, all Christians would be glorified. All unbelievers would be sentenced to hell. They wouldn't come into the kingdom. Therefore, you wouldn't have any people, mortal people, perishable people to populate the kingdom. Therefore, you wouldn't have any babies born. Therefore, you wouldn't have a rebellion in Revelation 20 at the end of the 1,000 years, because there would be nobody there to rebel. So that's probably the biggest reason why that can't work. You have to have a rapture that occurs before the return of Christ, and pre-tribulation versus mid-tribulation. The other issue there is, if you knew it was coming at the middle point of the tribulation, when the Antichrist reveals his true colors, the abomination of desolation, as it's talked about in Daniel and also Matthew 24, where the Antichrist shuts down all worship and says, you just worship me, no more sacrifices to God, I am God. And he's always wanted to be worshiped. He marks the people with 666 on their right hand or on their forehead. Well, if that were to take place, and that would be the time of the rapture, well, we would know that. And so it would be, that wouldn't be signless. That would just be, okay, well, now it's got to be coming any moment, any hour, because all these things have taken place. And the Lord said, we don't know when he's coming back. And so a pre-tribulation rapture, to me, makes the most sense in Scripture. And that's a signless event. That's why we're just waiting. Perhaps today the Lord will come back. We don't know when it's going to be. But if it were mid-tribulation, we would know. If it was post-tribulation, not only would we know, but then there would be nobody left to populate the kingdom, and there could not be a rebellion. Revelation 20 verse 7 and following, that could not come to pass, because nobody would be born to populate the kingdom. Everybody would be glorified. So I hope that helps, Nick.
Yep, I appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you. We have Chris on the line from Tennessee. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Shreve, thank you for taking my call.
Yes,
sir. You mentioned a friend of yours that worked for a Fortune 500 company, and they were a woke company, and your friend left, and he took less money, but he's a lot happier. Well, mm-hmm. I'm in the same boat. I quit. My company that I worked for 20 years was bought out by a European company, and 1/4 of their training session, which was absolutely ridiculous, was recognizing proper nouns for him,
right.
Her,
yeah.
She, they, all that junk. And then this company is a large shipping company, and they run a rainbow ship out there in the ocean. And then we had a values summit thing in our office, and I don't know, another 1/4 of that part was about woke agenda. So yeah. I left, I quit, and I took less money. But guess what? I work for a company that doesn't get into wokeism, and I'm a lot happier.
Amen. I appreciate that, Chris. Yeah, I think it's going to happen for a lot of Christians. They're just going to say, I can't do this anymore. I can't go along with this. And as one guy said, I can't let it be known that I'm a Christian because I would lose my job. Well, you know, you can't be a secret agent for your whole career. You got to stand up and be counted. And so I know it's a difficult decision. The Lord will give wisdom to those who are in that position. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. It's a joy for me to get to share with you every day. I look forward to Monday. Have a great weekend. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.